Welcome to We Mentor Mondays podcast with Nancy. Get inspired. Break through to new dimensions with your peers on the entrepreneurial journey of self-discovery. Learn something new from our stories today. Thanks for joining us this Monday. In the studio with us is Kim Albee. Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good.
Good. All right. Well, Kim owns Janoo, a limited liability company, and we're going to be talking, getting to know some of her technology background and how she grew up and how she became interested in technology and science and how she developed her entrepreneurial leadership skills, how she got involved with contact management systems, and all sorts of other things that we'll add in here as we go along.
Excellent. Sounds like fun.
Oh. So we're starting this interview like we do every first session with someone, and that is for you to be able to have an opportunity to, you've already completed the self-awareness mentoring journal, and we want to give you the opportunity to kind of check in emotionally and feel like we're both grounded so that you'll have a really solid foundation in our conversation.
Cool.
So how are you feeling?
Good. Should I use some of these words I circled?
Yes.
Okay.
What's going on?
All right. So, emotions of inner peace. If this is how you want me to go through this.
Sure.
I circled curious, generous in spirit, mentally fluid and clear, emotionally clear and current, and grounded.
Oh, you're in a good place already. What else are you feeling?
Well, I have circled invested, courageous, action-oriented, and challenged. Disappointed, impatient, and annoyed. How's that?
Okay. Yeah.
for a good, well-rounded set of emotions.
Yeah, right. See, we're a little more complicated than we think.
Absolutely.
Right? Yeah.
Always. Right.
Yeah. So, would you like to expand on any of your emotions? You want to say a little bit more about them?
I don't know that I have much more to say about them. I will say that I think generally I'm a pretty optimistic kind of person.
Mm-hmm.
I will say the generous in spirit, and this, you know, is just we just got back from Mexico, a vacation in Mexico.
Yeah, you can see you've got a nice tan.
I know.
It'll show
and
up
I
in your
love
picture.
Right, and I love Mexico, but one of the things on the day that we left, I'll just a quick story. On the day that we left, we went in to buy a Guerrero statue, kind of ceramic. They're sort of ugly, but they're sort of adorable because they're sort of ugly. But it's folk art. It's Mexican folk art from the state of Guerrero. And we have two other pieces that we adore. So we saw this one as like a mermaid and looked at it a couple times during the time we were there and decided the day we were leaving that we really must go get it.
Yeah.
So we drove in and we got it in town and we drove back to the condo, picked up our cab, went to the airport. Well, we went through check-in at the airport, waited an hour, got on our flight, and we were upgraded to first class. So it's all really fun, right?
Yeah.
And we're about a half hour into the flight and Jen asks me, as I was getting up to get something out of my bag that was in the overhead, she said, "Is the Guerrero mermaid up there?" And I looked at her, and I looked up, and I said, "You never handed me a Guerrero mermaid."
Oh, no.
And she looked around her, and she didn't have it. We had left it on the TSA belt at Zihuatanejo Airport. And it just struck us. We were in the air already. I mean, we're on our way to Minneapolis. And so she spent much of the ride getting over that fact that she had lost her sculpture. And so when we landed in Minneapolis, they took a while to get the jetway out to the plane. And we were in the front seat in the first class. So I was sitting there with the flight attendant, who is really great. And she and I said, "You know, this is what happened." I explained to her what happened. And she said, "Well, you know, I fly the same flight tomorrow, down and back to Ziwa." And I was like,
"Oh my gosh,
really?" And she goes, "I'll check on it. If you can send me a text with the information and stuff," she goes, "I'll go find out if they have it and see if I can't bring it back."
Oh, great.
So we gave her all the information and sent her pictures of our existing ones, plus this drawing that Jen had done of the mermaid in her recollection. And the gal went down. We got a call last night. She had the mermaid.
Oh, that is awesome.
Isn't that awesome?
Thank
and she was
you
a,
spoke up,
she
right?
was a flight attendant and for Delta Airlines. Kudos. Awesome customer service. I've already sent a note to Delta letting her know this is a flight, letting them know this flight attendant is like awesome.
Oh, cool.
And all that. So she gave us the story and all that. I think we're going to go to Den with her later this week. But anyway, so that's the generous in spirit.
Okay.
That's and really, it's like this generosity. It just is like amazing when people go out of their way like that to complete strangers
right.
to make a huge difference for them. And it has. So anyways, we have her at home now and our little mermaid. So anyways, that's generous in spirit. So I can talk about that. And then the disappointment is, I think every entrepreneur or business owner who has employees feels disappointment at one time or another with the productivity of your employees. And
you
how
have
do
how
you
many
get
employees?
I have seven now. I had eight until this afternoon.
Okay.
I now have seven. So I fired somebody today, and it's always hard, and it never is easy, and it's such a disappointment to think that, you know, you hire them and you have the best hope and promise for that person being exactly what your company needs. And when that doesn't prove out to be the case, it's just heartbreaking and disappointing all at the same time.
Yeah.
It's just a confluence of things. And when people do things that just aren't thoughtful, it's annoying.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like you care about your business, you care about that. And that's part of the growth is how do you hire people and then lead them to perform at their best for you, I think are part of some of the challenges. So I think I've got some emotions in there.
Yeah, that's you're a, just still you know, working through that. That was a big
sir. So there's challenges.
Today.
So I feel challenged both on the employee arena, but also challenged in, you know, all the things that businesses and small businesses are challenged with, like growing.
Yes.
How to grow faster.
Mm-hmm.
How to get customers more easily. How to get, it's the same questions. And while we have lots of ways we approach that and look at that and deal with it, it's always a question. And then your competitors and what they're doing and what you're doing. And you're always looking at that too. So challenge is, I think, always there and not in a bad way. I think it can be super productive, but I think that emotion's always sort of present with me.
Yeah.
And impatient. I'm impatient a lot. I want more growth faster. You know, I want people to, you know, get with the bandwagon and do some things without me always having to follow up and, you know, to make sure things didn't fall through the cracks or, you know, I'm impatient for those things to get in place, you know, and stuff. So I think that's part of that emotion.
Okay.
So it's a mixed bag always.
Yes. Absolutely. Okay. And just for our audience members, Jennifer Nelson is your partner.
Yes.
And she's been here and people can refer to her interview too to learn about her artistic background and entrepreneurial lifestyle too.
Yeah.
Very good. All right. And we'll have both of you together in another session. But because both of you are entrepreneurs, we thought let's have a few sessions with Jennifer. Let's have a few sessions with you so the audience can get to know you and you can get comfortable, too, with kind of sharing your journey with us along the way. Well, where did you grow up?
I grew up in San Diego, California, born and raised.
And your mom's still there?
She's still there, yep. Yeah.
Very cool. And siblings?
I have one sister who lives in Northern California.
And how did you make your journey here?
How did I get to Minnesota?
Yes.
I threw a dart at a map. I'm not kidding. That is
really?
How I got here.
How old were you?
26, 27.
Okay. You just wanted to change and...
Yeah. So I had...
You threw a dart on a map.
Yeah. So I was in Dallas, and my partner and I at the time had started a t-shirt and greeting card company.
Oh.
And then we moved to Florida on a whim. It was a very quickly decided stupid thing to do. You know when your gut tells you don't do this, but you do it anyways?
Yeah.
That was that.
Oh, I hate when I do that.
So we got to Florida in May, and just in time for the best part of the season, you know, the heat of the summer. Mm-hmm. And we lived on 10 acres of property, no air conditioning. And it was...
What part of Florida?
It was outside of Orlando, in a small town. And so we were there for about 7 months, and I just hated it. And I can go into more about what I think of Florida, but I think I'll just reserve myself and not.
Okay.
But at any rate, it's not my favorite place to go. It's not my favorite place to be. So we decided that, well, where do we want to go? So we literally taped Florida off the map of the United States and we threw a dart. And it landed in Minnesota.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
And my partner at the time said, I know somebody who lives up there. I went to college with her. And we called her up and she worked for a headhunter. Mm. And I sent my resume. And just before Thanksgiving, or just after Thanksgiving, I think it was just, I don't remember. Anyways, she got me interviews up here. And we packed all the stuff in the van because my partner at the time was so sure it was all going to work out. Drove the van to Minnesota. First time I met this friend of my partner's was when I drove into her driveway.
Oh my gosh.
I stayed in town for 2 weeks and going to different interviews.
Did you sell your property then?
No, we didn't own property. We were living with
you were renting a 10-acre
property, yeah.
Okay.
And so I went on interviews, and then there was this is before when you could sell your tickets, your airplane tickets before 9/11,
yes.
When you could, to have your ID to get on a plane. You just had to have the ticket, right?
Yeah.
And so I bought a ticket back to Orlando from Minnesota and left our car and all the stuff. I left my car in her driveway, left all of our stuff in her basement. I unloaded the car or the van, and I flew back without a job because I had gotten an offer, but it wasn't something I could accept. And it wasn't until the next morning that they actually called with an offer that I could accept.
Okay.
And then we moved in December 17th, 1990, up to Minnesota.
Wow.
So that's how I got to Minnesota.
You've got a very adventurous spirit.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Something like that.
So what was the job that you... What kind of work?
Oh, I came up here to work for the Star Tribune.
Oh, mm-hmm. Okay. Let's go back just a little bit. What were your interests as a child while you were in San Diego?
As a child, I loved sports, so I played a lot of sports. I loved sailing, so I sailed quite a bit. And I love reading. Always have loved to read. My mom would say, I think, that I like to build things. So like when we went out, when I was a kid, we went out to the Smithsonian Institute in Washington, D.C., and I bought a thing to put a radio together. Like you had to build the whole radio, including the coil and everything.
Okay.
And got that working and just loved that.
Okay. Was that the beginning of kind of your interest in... technology, or did that surface a lot later?
I think it's that surfaced later because I'm of the generation that there were no personal computers when I was a child.
Yeah, yeah, right.
I am not of that generation. I'm of the generation where the PC and all that came out, you know, like what Steve Jobs and Wozniak did in their garage. I was alive before then.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I went through school. So
was Ms. Pac-Man your first...
No, Space Invaders when
Space
I was
Invaders.
In high
okay.
school. It would be Space Invaders and Foosball.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And there's some other ones, but those were the kind of the big ones when I was in high school.
Okay.
Yeah. And Foosball, of course, is not an electronic game. It's just
right,
a soccer game.
Yeah.
But it was really popular when I was in high school.
Yeah. It still is popular.
I know. I mean, yes.
We have one here.
And I had one for years, too. So.
Yeah, right. So did you get a degree?
I did. I got a degree in business systems from Linfield College in Oregon.
In Oregon. Mm-hmm. So where in that time frame that you just explained when you moved from San Diego to Florida and then up to Minnesota?
No, I grew up in San Diego, okay. Went to college in Oregon, got hired by EDS and sent to Boston, Massachusetts. so Electronic Data Systems, Ross Perot's company, then got transferred to Washington, D.C., and then to Dallas, Texas.
Okay.
From Dallas, I left EDS and went to work for Fidelity Investments. I left Fidelity Investments to start my own t-shirt and greeting card line with a friend of mine.
Wow. Okay.
And then that was all in Dallas. And then from Dallas, moved to Florida. Then from Florida, moved to Minnesota.
I see. Mm-hmm. And it looks like you're a big risk taker with your finances as far as taking career chances.
Yeah, I mean, you don't get any younger. I didn't want to not do the things that were calling for me to do them, and I figured that I was smart enough I could figure out if I needed to go back and get a job at some point, I would, and I did.
Yeah.
But now I've been an entrepreneur working with my own company since 2000.
Yeah.
So
that entrepreneurial spirit kind of took off
early
in your life.
Yeah, my dad had his own company, so that might have had something to do with it. I'm not really sure. I had a pillow making company for a while when I was a kid, and okay. I had a little office in my dad's office building that he owned.
Pillow making,
yeah,
oh.
And tie dye pillow
that
making.
Okay,
I know. Hmm. So there's all kinds of things that I played with and did and tried.
Yeah.
And
so, as a young child, you're always curious to try things and see if you could sell them.
Yeah,
and see if there was an interest
and do things and.
So did your marketing interest also then was kind of burgeoning?
I don't know. I don't think marketing really came up for me until late 1990s. Like when I started working with marketers
okay.
in big companies mm-hmm. and what marketers needed to do. So that came up much later in life was, 'cause you know, when I was in college, marketing was the four P's. Product, place,
pricing,
and promotion. You know, as though it wasn't about online marketing. There was no online.
Right, exactly.
Right? I mean, mm-hmm. the, you know, IBM PCs were huge. So, and we had like a PC lab in our business department that had Peachtree Accounting on it.
Right. Well, you know,
they ran the CPM operating system. DOS hadn't even come in yet.
Wow. Yeah.
You know, Windows was not a product. Microsoft hadn't started yet. That was that's college for me, right? So
yeah.
I'm a gray haired in this whole world, literally. Like, you know, so but the puzzle of it,
yes.
the figuring it out of it, the
yes.
The challenge of that is what really hooked me.
Which reminds you probably of when you put together the radio.
Yeah, I mean, I like challenges, so mm-hmm. I like to figure puzzles out. I like things that stimulate
me.
Your mind. And so once I got into my math, I didn't think I was very good at math, but then I started taking, you know, a statistics class, and it had a computer lab as its lab, and mm-hmm. that was the starting point of all of it for me. And I had, so then I took more computer sort of oriented classes that were, that had particular computer labs and stuff like that, and I was fascinated. So I redid my whole major. I had to redesign a major and invent one and take it before the curriculum committee of my school and my college and have them have it approved so that I could actually graduate in 4 years,
which too is very innovative.
Yeah, everyone told me it was impossible to do and they didn't know what I was up to,
and you were able to overcome the roadblocks.
I just did it,
and you
I don't think there were many roadblocks.
Okay.
I mean, in my mind, it was just, no, we'll see. They can say no, but I can ask.
Right. So you can hear the no's, but you kept moving forward.
Sure.
Until you got a yes.
Sure. Sure.
That works well, doesn't it?
Yeah. Same thing was true at the Star Tribune about health benefits for domestic partners. Hmm. I took that forward at the Star Tribune, and Joel Kramer, who was the publisher of record at the time, told me in a meeting directly to my face that we will do that when the state of Minnesota mandates that domestic partners are spouses.
Oh, so.
And we know that just happened not too long ago, right?
Last year.
Except for then they went through a reorg, and I continued to stand for that because otherwise, you know, you don't have any benefits for your spouse who may not be employed, or you know what I mean, in that
right.
way, and
yeah.
then they have to cover it, and so you. But it ended up being, you know, back then they ended up doing it. They ended up offering domestic partner benefits. So, That was really cool. But I didn't know it couldn't be done. I just thought, why not ask for it? You know, what the heck? And that was when I was at the Star Tribune that got done.
Wow.
And so it ended up being something in a reorg that when they went to more of a team-oriented executive deal, mm-hmm. when it was all owned by Kohl's Media,
okay.
that was brought into play.
Wow.
So.
Well, yes. So lots of experiences. We're already at the end of our time together. It's really gone fast, right?
Yeah,
yes,
yeah.
Totally. But before we close out on this mentoring session, we're getting to know your very strong entrepreneurial spirit and your adventurous and risk-taking and also standing in who you are
mm-hmm.
and demanding your rights. It takes a lot of courage.
Yeah, I don't look at it like demanding. I just looked at it like asking.
Yeah.
And having it be a logical argument. For me, it was so logical that it made sense, you know?
Yeah.
And even then, around healthcare, they would cover it, and that was imputed income to me, which I paid taxes on.
Wow.
As well as it covered, you know, so they paid that healthcare,
yeah.
but the portion they paid was treated as my income that was also taxable
so
to me,
like,
because there wasn't the
almost.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it was interesting, but it was and then that kind of, you had to really weigh the benefit of whether that was worth it.
Yes, exactly.
Right? Because that's the way it had to work for the tax codes.
Yeah. Yeah. So you've overcome many things already. And we haven't even really gotten started yet next step. Yes. Well, thank you for sharing what you
You're
have.
You're very welcome.
There's I think what we'll do is we'll start our next mentoring session with some fun downloadable questions.
Okay, cool.
Yeah,
excellent.
That you might enjoy. All right. So thank you so much. Boy, this went really super fast.
It did go fast. I hope it's useful.
Absolutely. And we'll have you back for a second mentoring session so
okay.
that we can continue our journey with you.
Sounds fun.
Okay. Thanks. We'll see you next Monday.
Okay.
Thanks, Mike.